I have looked at the lives of those who have made a world-changing impact on their generation. And I can tell you this, they were not slaves to public opinion.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Have you ever heard of James W.C. Pennington? Story of his life from slave to teacher, preacher, and protester. Read about him recently in a book by David E. Swift, Black Prophets of Justice, Activist Clergy Before the Civil War. And in reading his account, I was struck with something I want to share with you today, challenge you with today, as it's Wednesday on the Line of Fire, so we focus on moral and cultural issues. I want to talk about what it means to be free and what holds us back from truly being free. I think your eyes will be opened. Love to get your input as well. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Or on Facebook, ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown. Also, a very important resource we're going to be giving away today. So stay tuned, because you don't want to miss this. All right. Let me read you a brief account of James Pennington. Pennington was born James Pembroke in 1807 on the eastern shore of Maryland. He suffered, as so many slave children did, from parental neglect because of his mother's and father's working long hours and at a distance. He had often been hungry, was cruelly bullied by his master's sons, and was brutally whipped, even in his early years, by a capricious overseer. Yet Pennington seems to have had a relatively solid family life. Except for his first 4 years, his parents were owned by the same master and were strong forces in the development of self-pride and a clear sense of values such as truthfulness and good workmanship. Moreover, he and his older brother were very close, even when working several miles from each other. At the age of 9, James was hired out to a stonemason 6 miles from home. He and his brother, who was hired out in the same town, were each living in a family where there was no other black person. At age 11, James was brought back to the home plantation to work with a skilled blacksmith. He stayed in this post for 9 years and was then assigned to learn carpentry by assisting a white workman in building a large barn. After 6 months of picking up his third trade, events involving both of his parents precipitated his running away. This is what I want you to hear, friends. In the fall of 1827, on a Monday morning, Pennington's master was in a particularly bad mood because 4 of his slaves were late in returning to their plantation after weekend leaves. He expressed his anger in an insulting tone to Brazil Pembroke, James's father, a scrupulously thorough and punctual workman. "The fact is, I have too many of you. My people are getting to be the most careless, lazy, and worthless in the country. I shall have to sell some of you, and then the rest will have enough to do." Brazil, protesting that he was always at work when and where he had been ordered to be, told his master that he himself were one too many, and if his master wanted to get rid of him, he would try to find a purchaser. James, telling the story over 20 years later, commented, "My father was a high-spirited man and felt deeply the insult." Undoubtedly, this was conveyed in his tone of voice. At any rate, his master whipped him with the cowhide he was carrying. After 15 or 20 lashes administered with all his strength on Brazil's shoulders and back, his master said, "By the blank, I will make you know that I am master of your tongue as well as of your time." James heard and saw the whole episode. Although shortly thereafter, he was himself savagely beaten by his master without provocation, and his mother was threatened with a flogging for berating a slave informer, Pennington insisted it was his father's being whipped that had decisively changed his attitude. "I never was a slave after that." Although he had found real satisfaction in his skill and aesthetic taste as a blacksmith and in working with his father at night in making straw hats and willow baskets to secure a little extra food and clothing, all this pride was dispelled by the family disgrace under which we were smarting. Eventually, he ran away, ended up going into ministry, being a strong preacher of the gospel, protester against slavery. But something happened when he got to the breaking point, and although physically he was still a slave, he said, "I never was a slave after that," and he got his freedom. Friends, are you a slave or are you free?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Being a slave or being free, what's the difference? What am I actually talking about? I'm obviously not talking about people being physically enslaved. I'm talking about a mental attitude. I'm talking about a state of mind. The world changers I've read about and looked at, people I've worked with, they have died to the opinions of men at least enough to stand up for what is right even when it costs them, to do what is right even when it costs them. George Mueller talked about a point in his life where he utterly died to the opinions of men. It doesn't mean that we are proud and unteachable, because as people submitted to God, we always walk in humility, we always respect authority, and we're always welcoming constructive input in our lives. But it means I'm not a slave to radio ratings. I'm not a slave to book sales. I'm not a slave to church offerings. I'm not a slave to human opinion. If I'm a slave to God, I have to die to those other things. I wonder, maybe you're a leader, and you know the battles you face as a Christian leader. What is it that makes it so hard for us to stand up for what's right? Maybe you're someone just, you're a member of a church or fellowship somewhere, you're following the Lord, and you recognize the problems, the pressures. We've had people call in who are students at grad school and college and talk about how difficult it is to speak up for what's right. What is it that stops us from being really, really free? Friends, if we do not find this real freedom, we will not be able to stand up for what's right, because it'll be too costly, because our reputation will be more important, our income will be more important, our skin will be more important, and we'll never embrace the words of Jesus that to save our lives is to lose our lives, to lose our lives for the gospel is to find them. 866-34-TRUTH. What's holding us back? Let's be honest. Let's put it on the table. Let's look at it together so that we can face it head on and be overcomers and be free to do the will of God. Is what I'm saying making sense? 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Before I go any further, I just want to mention a resource that I want to get in your hands that'll really be life-changing. Three messages I preached some years back that are maybe the three strongest, or three of the strongest messages I've ever preached in my entire life. One called Holy Desperation, which absolutely will drive you to your knees and to a heart cry for God. Another, Fire. God is a consuming fire. What the fire of God means, how we ourselves can become torches. And another, Call to Die, which ties in directly with what I'm talking about. Three of the most important messages I've ever preached in my life on one CD. They're so important, I want to get them out to every one of you absolutely free. Sure, you can make a contribution to the ministry. That's more than welcome. But don't let that hold you back. If you're unable to contribute anything, I want you to have these. They will be life-changing. I want to sow this into your life. And here's what you do to get it. And we'll pay the postage. 1-800-278-9978. Just ask for the free CD. It's three messages. You can listen to it on your computer, on your MP3 player. 1-800-278-9978. That's not to be on the program. That's to get this free CD. If you'd like to make a contribution, wonderful. It helps us bring this message forward to touch many more people on the airwaves. But it's yours as our gift, offering or not, okay? 1-800-278-9978. I want you to get this. As you listen to these messages, your own life will be impacted. It is our way of sowing into you to help you be a disciple for Jesus, a revolutionary for Jesus, a world changer for Jesus. 1-800-278-9978. Okay, during the Civil Rights Movement, this whole discussion of freedom, during the Civil Rights Movement, Dr. Martin Luther King, as you know, was advocating nonviolent resistance. The problem was people were resisting violently against the nonviolent people. In other words, people were taking out their anger on these nonviolent civil rights protesters. People were being sprayed with fire hoses. People were being beaten. People were being fired from jobs. There was a bomb set often in a church building with fatalities. There was a lot of violence. attack dogs were being launched on these people, unleashed against these people. And some appealed to Dr. King and said, Dr. King, this is, look, you're espousing nonviolent resistance, but there's violence against us, and this is too costly, and this is too difficult. We need to change our strategy. So Dr. King addressed this. I actually have a video of the speech, which is very, very powerful. One day I'll play it on the air. Selma, Alabama, March 8th, 1965, Dr. King addresses this. And he points out, he said, there's some deep down in our nonviolent creed is the understanding that there is some thing so precious that it's worth dying for. In fact, here's how a revolutionary thinks. When someone gets involved in a revolutionary movement, I'm talking about just even in the world, forget the gospel for a moment. When they join some revolutionary movement, this is what they're thinking. Life as it is not worth living, but the cause is worth dying for. Things are so extreme, I would rather die for what's right than go on leading a life of meaningless existence. I would rather stand up for what's right than just survive. Before I continue with Dr. King's speech, many of you know the words of Patrick Henry. You may just know one little snippet of the quote. Here's the longer part of it. War had been launched. The American Revolution had been launched. We're fighting against England. When we talk about Jesus' revolution here on our broadcast, we're talking about nonviolent and the principles of Jesus, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, not taking lives, laying our lives down for the good of society. The American Revolution was a violent revolution against British tyranny. And the revolution has now begun, but it looks hopeless. It looks fatal for our side. And people were counseling, let's quit while we're ahead, to which Patrick Henry said, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. This is the same mentality with which Dr. King is speaking. It ties in with this question, are you free? Are you really free? So March 8th, 1965, Selma, Alabama, Dr. King addressing a packed church building, loudspeakers going outside the building, people standing in the street listening. Part of his speech, he said this, if a man happens to be 36 years old, as I happen to be, and some great truth stands before the door of his life, some great opportunity to stand up for that which is right, he's afraid his home will get bombed, or he's afraid he'll lose his job, or he's afraid that he'll get shot or beat down by state troopers, he may go on and live until he's 80, but he's just as dead at 36 as he would be at 80, and the cessation of breathing in his life is merely the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. Dr. King said a man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true. So we're going to stand up right here amid horses. We're going to stand up right here in Alabama amid billy clubs. We're going to stand up right here in Alabama amid police dogs if they have them. We're going to stand up amid tear gas. We're going to stand up amid anything they can muster up, letting the world know that we are determined to be free. Boy, what an extraordinary message. And I've quoted those words many times. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true. Are we willing to go against the grain for what is right? Are we willing to stand up for that which is true, even if it means getting reviled, even if it means getting hated, even if it means being mocked? What if standing up for what was right in our society? What if standing up for the rights of the unborn? What if standing against human trafficking? What if standing up for justice in other areas? What if standing against the goals of gay activism? What if standing up for what was right meant that you'd get fired? Let's say you're teaching in a nursery school, preschool, daycare, and you've got lists of books that you're supposed to read to 3 and 4 year olds, and they include books like Heather Has Two Mommies, or my Mommy, Mama, and Me, or My Daddy, Papa, and Me, and you're required to read those books. And you say, you know, in good conscience, I really can't read those books. Are you willing to get fired from a job to hold your conviction that you're not going to put that stuff into the minds of 3 and 4 year old kids? Or are you willing to stand up for what's right if it means threats. I mean, we're really not used to this much in America, because on the one hand, we have a message, a gospel message, that's often all about me, what's in it for me. But we also are hardly called to go against the grain. I want to encourage your friends that God living in you means that you're different than the world. Being born from above means you're different than the world. Having the Holy Spirit empowering you, having the word of truth on your side, means you're different than the world. And somehow we have to take hold of this higher and better way. Somehow we have to come into a place of freedom. What holds us back? What is it that stops us from being free to do what's right? 866-34-TRUTH. Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was talking to a megachurch pastor in one city here in America, pastor of over 6,000 congregational members, a good friend of mine, co-worker. He told me in his city, of the megachurch pastors he hangs out with, has fellowship with, and they just sit and discuss church issues, that he was the only one out of all of them in his city who would even address the issue of homosexuality anymore. Even address it. Not talking about even dealing with gay activist issues or same-sex marriage or school curricula or don't ask, don't tell, the military, things like that. No, even the sin of homosexual practice or the disorder to the family as God intended it. He said he was the only one that would talk about it anymore. What? It's just too unpopular, too controversial. You don't want to be called hateful, bigoted. Don't want to lose members. Don't want to offend somebody in the body who has a family member struggling with same-sex attraction. Hey, friends, you can speak the truth in love and reach out to people with compassion, while at the same time speaking the truth, exposing what's wrong. You can do it all in love. 866-34-TRUTH. My question today, what holds us back? Why aren't we truly free, so many of us, to stand up for what's right? Now, I'm a leader, and I'm speaking about fellow leaders and what fellow leaders have said. I am careful not to throw stones at my fellow workers and to do my best to encourage us to step higher. So it's not fruitful to call in, say, and just blast all those pastors out there, because there are many fine men and women of God serving God sacrificially, doing what's right. I would say, though, that a tremendous spirit of compromise has entered the body, a tremendous spirit of not doing what's right because it's not expedient, of not standing up for what's true because it's too costly, of not promoting what we know is right because it's not politically correct, and that deeply, deeply concerns me. 866-34-TRUTH. If you're just tuning in, we've got a very important resource that we're getting out for free today, just for your phone call. So stay with me a few more minutes. I will mention it again. Mike in Washington, D.C., you're first up today. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I'd like to say thank you to you. As an African-American man, it's good to hear someone on WAVA, talking about the African-American history in such a positive way. And also, I think that to be free, you have to be a slave to Christ, in a sense. So it's an interesting paradox you mentioned there. I think, by and large, America today is unfree because they're connected to unbound pleasure, that pleasure with no boundaries. And even homosexuals in particular, they have a problem with you saying anything about homosexuality. They think you hate them or something like that. And it's getting to the point where you can't even state your opinion anymore. Freedom is just being connected to Christ. And again, thank you for talking about African-American history.
Well, you're very welcome, Mike. Thanks. God bless you. Appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Obadiah in New York City, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Oh, God bless you. I just wanted to say about the racial problems that you were having in the world today. And I was in a so-called black church some time ago in Amsterdam, here where I live in New York City. And as I remember, I was the only black face, I mean, white face in the crowd. And while I was there, a deacon came by while I was kneeling down at the altar. He encouraged me. He said, you know, God is the God of the black as well as the white. And he said this to make me feel at home, and it was so wonderful. And when he walked away, the Lord put the thought in my heart. He says, my child, my color is love. And when my spirit is in you, you love all people. And, you know, it just blessed me so. So when I share with people the color of Jesus when he was here on earth, his color was love. And, you know, the enemy uses race, like black, white, Jew, Gentile, whatever, to divide and conquer people. And when I share with them that thought that God gave me and shared with me, it pulls down those barriers of racial hatred that the enemy puts up. And I said, oh, Lord, would you give me a song according to this revelation? So he gave me a song called God's Color is Love. And I had it copyrighted and I recorded it. And I would like to know if I could send it to you.
Surely. Yeah, just go to askdrbrown.org, Obadiah, and send us a link to it or the song itself on an MP3. I'd love to hear it. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it. And that's quite an interesting perspective to bring. I'm going to open up a can of worms here. Are you ready? Because this freedom issue comes from so many different angles, free to really stand up for what's right, free to stand up for what's true. I was speaking in Raleigh, North Carolina this past weekend, a church where the congregation and leadership is almost entirely black. And the pastor told me that because he did not endorse and support Barack Obama for president because he disagreed with his moral stance and other issues, that he lost people over that and was told he's not black enough. These are the kinds of things where you find, okay, am I going to do what's right or am I going to do what's politically correct? Whether it's bowing down to Jewish interest or to black interest or to white interest or whatever the interest is, am I going to stand up and do what's right, or am I going to put personal preferences first? Am I going to put my own well-being first, or I want to make sure people like me? I want to make sure I get a recommendation from my professor. I want to make sure that people don't boycott my business. I just heard from a businessman recently who's standing together with our commission to reach out and resist. Reach out to the homosexual community with compassion, resist gay activists with courage. And he said, hey, standing up for what's right could cost him customers. What are you going to do? Do what's right. Do it in love. Do it full of the Spirit. But do what is right. Otherwise, friends, we'll always be enslaved. We'll know what's right. We won't be able to do it. But we'll know what's right, but we'll be thinking, oh, if I do that, the consequences are, if I do that, the question should be, how does the Lord feel about this? And how can I best serve him and be obedient? Look, many of us go on the mission field for the first time. And I'll hear the reports, man, I was preaching, I was so bold. You know why you're so bold on the mission field? Because nobody knows you there. Because you don't have your in-laws there. Because you don't have your fellow students there. Because you don't have the people you work with there. Oh, you can stand and preach boldly in the street corner somewhere in Africa or India or Russia, but do the same thing in your hometown. It's a little harder because people know you. Oh, are you really free? Okay, we want to sow this into everyone listening. We have a large supply. We want to sow this into everyone listening. A CD with three of the most important messages I ever preached in my life. You say, well, if it's so important, give it away. We are. I want you to get this. It'll change your life. Three messages: Holy Desperation, Fire, and Called to Die. Called to Die in particular ties in directly with what I'm speaking about on the air today. If you can make a contribution to help us, that would be awesome. We'd appreciate it. But if you can't, call. We want to send this to everyone listening. Free CD with three messages on it. Call 1-800-278-9978. Our team is waiting. You may have to wait a couple of minutes to get through. 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the free CD. We will send it to you, postage paid. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about freedom. Freedom to do the will of God. Not freedom to sin. Jesus does not set us free to sin. He sets us free from sin. But if we're free from the opinions of people, if we're free from bowing down to what's politically correct, we will stand up and do what's right. Yes, in meekness. Yes, in humility. But we will stand up and do what's right regardless of cost or consequences. Are you free? Are you smitten by a people-pleasing spirit? Are you smitten by a politically correct spirit? I don't mean a demon. I mean an attitude. I mean a mindset. Are you always thinking about the consequences of your actions rather than doing what's right regardless of cost or consequence? Look, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Before I go back to the phones, I was talking to a pastor who was on staff previously with a church that had a national TV broadcast. There are many such churches, so I can say this without you trying to figure out exactly which one it was. And the pastor was known for teaching on a certain subject. And I, every so often, I'd see a couple minutes of the show, and he was often teaching on that subject, so I thought it must be one of his favorite subjects. Well, it probably was a favorite subject, but this pastor told me that the TV people would come to him and say, ratings are down, you need to teach on that. And when he did, the ratings would pick up again. Is that what it's about? What does well on the ratings? Is it about what sells, or is it about what's right? I've had publishers work with me on other projects and say, okay, let's look at how this would sell. I said, well, tell you what, tell me if you like the book first. How about if you tell me if you believe in the message of the book first? Then we can talk about who might buy it and will it potentially sell. But do you agree with the message of the book? I can't relate to, I'm going to write the thing because it's going to sell well. No, I want to write it so it'll impact lives and help people. And if it sells well, it'll help more people and then generate more money for ministry work. But this whole, you know, just got to check out the rating. Man, that's bondage. We're not free if that's how we think and measure our lives. 866-34-TRUTH. JR in Woodbridge, Virginia, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Thank you, brother, for receiving my call.
It's a pleasure. You're welcome.
On the radio waves. Well, you asked the question why we have such a compromise in the church. I think that we go back to some of the history in England. There was Bishop Latimer, John Ridley, that were going to be burned at the stake. And they asked him, Mr. Bishop Latimer, what do you think is going on with England? And the man responded very briefly. He said, well, it looks to me like we have lost the fear of God. And look at where they at right now. And then you're right. We got one of the things that, and I evangelized with my son. I have a 16-year-old boy. And Dr. Brown, I'm shameful to say this here. And in many of the churches, when we want to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, what happens is, I had one pastor in particular with the name nameless in the area that he said, hey, brother, it's getting too hot here. You know, and we were talking basically about, they were talking about 10%. And basically what we were saying is, if you're going to apply the 10%, apply it all the way through your life. 10% of how the man lost up to the woman. 10% of how you drive, your patience when you drive. 10%, and it goes on and on. Well, the pastor said to me, you know, the reason why I had to get you off the pulpit here is because, you know, I just knew you. And I turned around. And I said, well, pastor said, it's time up. I said, oh, so that's fine with me. He's, I'm his guest. I said that. But at the end, I said, well, pastor, I said, who got you the job? Did God got you the job of a bishop or a shepherd here, this congregation? Mm-hmm. Or you got it yourself? Because either way, if you fail to declare the truth, if it isn't Jesus and the full counsel of God, they're going to get rid of you. They did.
Wow. Hey, JR, got to run. We got a break here. But thanks for weighing in. I want to come back to that very subject, take up this question of the pastor when we return.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Are you free or are you a slave to what people think? I welcome constructive input. Just today I was on the phone with a colleague and asking him for constructive input in certain areas of ministry we're doing. I welcome that. I believe if we're to be truly free, that means we are absolutely, utterly submitted to God. And one of the fruits of that is that we are approachable and humble and easily corrected. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about freedom. I'm going to do what's right even if people hate me. I'm going to do what's right even if I lose my job. I'm going to do what's right even if my family turns against me. I'm going to do what's right even if I lose my life. That person is free. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, now, before I go back to the phones, let me throw this out to you. Our last caller said something very important. He talked about a pastor just recently got his position, was concerned about what this guy was saying, was going a little too far. Now, I'm all for using wisdom. I'm all for gaining people's trust, gaining people's respect, and then introducing certain subjects. I'm all for laying foundations so they are able to receive the other subjects that we're going to talk about. However, all too often in the name of wisdom, we compromise. All too often, our use of the term wisdom is just another way to cloak our compromise or to cloak our fear of man or to cloak our life-saving mentality. I was going to save my life, save my reputation rather than do what's right because it is too costly. Again, I ran into this recently with the publication of A Queer Thing Happened to America, with one publisher telling me, said, I'll be an eager reader of your book, but I can't personally publish it. It would be too costly. It could potentially bankrupt my company. That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. I'm not that man's judge. I don't know what God's will was or wasn't for him in that situation. I'm simply saying it's that attitude. And for some, you know, I'm being pragmatic. No, I'm being compromised. I'm being politically correct is what it comes down to. 866-34-TRUTH. Victor in the Bronx, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello, Victor.
Yes, yes.
Yes,
hello?
You're on the air, sir. Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, sorry about that. I got in a hell of a discussion with some of my co-workers on this homosexuality issue. Guy said to me, he said, what do you got against it? I said, well, it's not a question of what I have against it. It's more about what God said about it. Well, what's wrong with it? I said, well, it's wrong because it's about the only sin that interferes with God's creation. You can steal and you can commit adultery. All these things are wrong, but there are no two people of the same sex can reproduce. And I think that is interfering with God's creation. That's why he takes such a very firm stand against that.
Mm-hmm.
And it concerns me that so many of our highfalutin preachers, and that's what I call many of them, they will not step up to the table and deal with this serious, ugly sin as it should be dealt with. They duck around it. They don't want to talk about it. They're afraid. And I'm honored to hear a guy like you who is willing to, remember what you just said, lose your job, lose your friends. And you add the bottom line, lose your life for the truth. God bless you. Stay with a good message.
God bless you. Thank you, Victor. Look, I don't say these things lightly, and I'm not being cavalier. And I'd be the first to say that many churches, while speaking out against homosexual practice, have failed to reach out to homosexual men and women with compassion and have courage to reach out to them and have courage to sit down and have a meal together and get involved in their lives and show the love of Jesus in a tangible way. But look, I have friends who've been beaten for their faith, who've been put in prison for their faith, who've been threatened with death, and friends of friends who've been martyred for their faith. And I've worked overseas enough on the front lines and been in situations where our own lives were threatened for the gospel. And I see the biblical pattern. I mean, this is not exactly, this is, how can I say it? It does not take a tremendous amount of courage to speak up for what's right when you know the difference between right and wrong and when you love God, when you love people. And it grieves me. And there are plenty of people doing what's right. I appreciate those that appreciate the voice I have here. Thank God for other voices that are speaking up. But why is it often so few? Why is it often that when it comes to something that could really threaten our lifestyle or hinder us from getting to our earthly goals that we're so concerned? Look, people will call in, students I've mentioned earlier. Professors, what do I do? I'm the only one in my department that believes if I stand up, what's going to happen? One of my dear friends and colleagues, Dr. Frank Turek, he's been on the show with me. I've been on his show, a noted apologist and author. He gets fired. He also does some secular work and some leadership training and teaching. He got fired from Cisco Systems because his views became known that he wrote a book about what's wrong with same-sex marriage, which, by the way, doesn't even use the Bible. It just uses reason. This is his way of reasoning with the world about these issues. He got fired. Mike Adams has been writing about it on Town Hall. Maybe I'll make reference to that later this hour or the next hour, and you can catch up with it online if you like. Is he going to draw back from what he's doing? No, he's going to continue to do what's right. And if it costs him in the secular world, so be it. But he's going to continue to do what's right. How can we do any other than that and look ourselves in the mirror at the end of the day without having to apologize to the mirror? 866-34-TRUTH. Gyro in North Miami, Florida. Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello?
All right, we'll come back to Jarro. Hal, let's see what our problem is here. William in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What happened to William? All right. By the way, at the beginning of the show, I made reference to a man beaten terribly as a slave and how he got to that breaking point. And from that moment on, he was a slave no more. And then I mentioned Dr. King, some of his quotes. Somebody wrote in, I don't know if you're still listening, Dr. Brown, I heard your radio message today on such and such show, and I was shocked at the example you used for your message. I know you meant well, but did you think of how it would make people feel to hear of the gross mistreatment of a man during slavery? That was my whole point. Yeah, it's terrible. Let's hear about it. He was grossly mistreated, and he got to that breaking point where he was no longer a slave. You may own me, but I'm no longer a slave, and eventually he fled for his freedom. I felt angry for the man who was mistreated. Fair enough. I'm not happy with you right now either for making me feel that way, but I forgive you because I know you are not aware of what you're doing. Hey, it's okay. The man was mistreated. We shared about it. It's a horrible history of slavery, and we learn from it, and we move forward. I'm a Christian, and my heart longs for unity within the body of Christ, so I'd really appreciate it if ministers would stay away from examples and topics which cause disharmony within the body of Christ. Have a nice day. My dear sister, God bless you for writing in and sharing that. It got passed on to me immediately during the show. But talking about what happened in past history with slavery and civil rights does not bring disunity unless I'm using it to stir racial tension today. Perhaps you need to rethink what we mean by unity. All right, let's see if Gyro reconnected now in North Miami.
Hello there.
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share that, you know, a lot of times, from what I understand is happening is that we seem to be focused on one thing too many. For example, I was just trying to minister to this homosexual last week, and he was telling me how it seems he gets the impression that it's just the highest sin ever, and he doesn't hear about the issues of same-sex, divorce rates, other issues that are prevalent in the church, sin issues, and he gets the impression that we're like narrow-minded. This is the ultimate. Not the British are coming, but the gays are coming, and the divorce rate is unacceptable. The women that are out of wedlock unacceptable. The abortion rate is unacceptable. Parents spend very little time with their children. It's unacceptable. How we are. Have drug use in this country is so great, and there's so many other, and you know, I think Paul the Apostle and the preaching of the old days wasn't narrowed to one point. It just said all men to repent and to come to Christ and to be born again and get this new spirit so that they have a fire in their life and they're free. But if he gets the impression, and I do myself, that sometimes we're narrow in scope and we only talk about, for example, I can sit next to the liar and the divorce, But watch out when the gay shows up. And I think that's sad that sometimes gay people perceive that as so, that we're not being, in general, fair to everybody, because even liars won't enter the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to share today.
Yeah, hey, Jarrell, I appreciate that. I'm coming up against a break, so I'm going to begin to answer, and then on the other side of the break, I'll finish the answer. But thanks for the call, Jarrell. I appreciate it. Okay, in short, family ministries for decades have been talking about the importance of marriage and family and have been decrying the skyrocketing divorce rate that we've seen, and are constantly, pastors constantly talking about family issues, moms and dads and parenting. This is a constant. Very few churches are actually addressing the issue of homosexuality.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, what about Jairo's question that it can seem as if we're one track and the only thing we're talking about is homosexual practice? The larger context of today's show, are we free? Are we free to do what's right, or are we constantly bowing down to what people think or what's pragmatic versus what's best? Okay, number one, family ministries for years and years and years within the body have been teaching, preaching about marital relationships, about healthy families, about communication between husband and wife. Think over the course of a year how much you hear about parenting type messages, messages about relationships. You have couples retreats, you have men's meetings, women's meetings, speak into these things. How much do you hear about just purity of life and issues, maybe men dealing with pornography or things like that? This is stuff that many churches help and equip people with and very rarely address the issue of homosexual activism. In contrast, I surveyed hundreds of people. Surveyed hundreds of people about this in a debate I had with a rabbi and asked how many of you have heard a message on marriage, family, parenting. You know, every hand went up in the last year, and maybe dealing with sexual issues, pornography, just about every hand. How many of you have heard a message dealing with homosexual activism? Almost no hands. In fact, the only hands that went up were people that went to my congregation and heard me speak about it. So the fact is that's a misperception. That's number one. Number two, there are not pride parades for liar pride parades or divorce pride parades, nor is there a liar agenda or a divorce agenda or an adultery agenda being put into our schools and being put into the military and then every state is having a battle over the same-sex marriage issues. This is coming our way. Every single day there's another news headline about the latest gay activist issue, about the latest bullying issue, about the latest one coming out. The ones who are obsessed with these issues are the gay activists, because for them, that's their life. That's who they are. That's what they're fighting for in their minds, equality and tolerance. When we respond simply to hold our ground, this comes knocking at our door. Now we're called obsessed. Also, these other issues are not a threat to our religious freedoms and our freedom of conscience and the very education of our children and the definition of marriage and family, whereas gay activism is. So it is right that we speak up and speak out. Ernie in Queens, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good, thanks for taking my call. I know the one thing you just mentioned was I was reading last night on the internet, there's some, you know, in California, they want to pass a bill about something to do with the gay activists. They want to, something within the education department, they want to teach, you know, bisexual, lesbian, all that, and they're trying to vote that down. That about right last night. But the other thing is what people need to realize is, you, as being a minister, as being whatever, you need to preach what the Bible says, because eventually you're going to stand before God and you're going to be accountable for everything you say.
Yeah.
For what you are supposed to say, you know, for telling the truth. You know, people need to realize this. The other thing is, we are watchmen on the wall. What are we wearing, letting the people know what's going on? They have to know what's going on. God loves them, but he hates what they're doing, and this is what they need to realize. I have a family member who's in that situation. We constantly tell them, what you're doing is wrong, but God loves you. And so I was also talking to this other woman, and she also has a brother who's of that lifestyle, and you have to tell them it's the same thing as a single person. You need to abstain.
Yeah.
From that type of lifestyle, because it's all it's going to do is, you can't go up to them and beat them over the head and say, oh, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. No, you got to show them love, and kindness, because if you don't, they're going to go back to their own people and say, see, I told you they were going to tear you apart. You got to show them God's love, mercy, and everything else. Continually pray for them and ask God to change them, because we can't change them. Only He can change them. Dr. Brown, you have a wonderful day, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ernie. God bless you. Hey, that's what I like, a fast-talking New Yorker, Ernie. Ernie got in a lot in a short period of time. Look, God has love and mercy on us. We need to show love and mercy to others. It is true that the goodness of God, his forbearance, not wiping us out, that his giving us time to repent, leads us to repentance. We see his goodness. We see our badness. We turn to him in repentance. But so many people have run away from standing up for what's right on a score of different issues. What's happening now with the churches, sometimes cowardice, sometimes lack of courage is maybe a softer way of saying it. Failure to stand up for what's right dealing with gay activism is just symptomatic of a larger issue, which is that often we've preached what people want to hear rather than what they need to hear. We've preached what people want to hear rather than what God wants us to deliver. And as Ernie just mentioned, all of us speaking, all of us ministering, at the end of the day, are going to have to give account to God. We listen to those around us. We take counsel. We seek to exercise wisdom. But ultimately, we're going to have to answer to God. And I'm reminded again of the quote by W.E. Sangster. I quoted it within the last few weeks. A Methodist preacher from some years back. How shall I feel at the judgment if multitudes of missed opportunity passed before me in full display, and all my excuses proved to be disguises of my cowardice and pride? Friends, I want to sow something into your lives. It's so important to me to get this to you that we're not charging anything for it. Three messages on one CD. You can listen to it on your computer, your MP3 player. Copy it, give it out to friends. The message, Holy Desperation. I remember when I preached that, subsequently when it came out on video, one pastor showed it at his church and said it led to weeks and weeks of God moving in his church in repentance. Holy Desperation. The message, Fire, where we go through the fire of God in Scripture and talk about how we ourselves can become blazing torches. And then the message, Called to Die, which ties in directly with what we're talking about today, the courage to do what's right regardless of cost or consequence, the examples of the missionaries and martyrs of the past. Three messages on one CD. It normally sells for $15. We want you to have it. It's so important to get it into your hands that you can get it simply by calling, and we'll send it to you postage paid. If you can make a contribution, wonderful. That would help us in our work on the radio and our world outreach and our outreach to Jewish people. But it is yours free for the asking. Call this number right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Ask for today's free CD. Again, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Everyone listening, next moment you get, give us a call. We've got operators standing ready to take your call, and we want to get this out to the maximum number of people. It's our way of sowing into Jesus' revolution in society. Jesus changing us, we go and change others. He said, what can I do personally to get to that deeper place of freedom? Well, get the CD. That'll help you. That'll minister to you. I also encourage you to really do everything you know how to do to cultivate a personal relationship with God, to slow down life sufficiently to get with God on a deeper, regular basis, so that you develop a healthy reverence and fear of God, and that the fear of man and the opinions of people become less important because of your vision of God, your intimacy with God, your love for God, your fear of God. I also encourage you to get around people who maybe have some more boldness than you do, and go out with them when they do an outreach, even just to stand with them, to be with them. Be identified with Jesus more and more in the public square, and you'll see it'll break some of the shackles off of you. My bottom line is this. Jesus died for us publicly. He despised the shame, but he endured it for our good. And he says, whoever will be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him. Whoever will confess me, I will confess him. Let us be unashamed of Jesus. Let us be unashamed of what is right. We have the words of eternal life. Why should we cower in a corner? I have looked at the lives of those who have made a world-changing impact on their generation, and I can tell you this. they were not slaves to public opinion.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You want to hear the words of someone who is absolutely and utterly free? Check this out. John Bradford. If the Queen be pleased to release me, I will thank her. If she will imprison me, I will thank her. If she will burn me, I will thank her. He was ultimately burned at the stake. That man was absolutely free. I wonder, are you free today? Oh, I don't mean are you sitting in a physical prison. I don't mean are you free of debt. I don't mean are you free of, say, a bondage to a drug, or those types of things are very obvious in terms of lack of freedom. I'm talking about, are you free to do what's right? Or are you held back by what others think? Are you free to do what's right, or are you held back by public opinion? Are you free to do what's right, or is political expediency more important? 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, we'll stir hearts today and encourage you. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org, or on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. A.W. Tozer said that this world is a playground instead of a battleground, has now been accepted by the vast majority of fundamentalist Christians. Ooh. Listen to this statement from another man who is absolutely free, Jeremiah Burroughs. Let fire, the cross, the letting out of beasts upon me, breaking of my bones, the tearing of my members, the grinding of my whole body, and the torments of the devils come upon me, so be it that I may get Christ. Free to do the will of God. Free to do the will of God. I was ministering in India one time with my dear friend Yesu Padam. And many of you, I'm so glad, took advantage of the opportunity to get a copy of his book on yesterday's broadcast. And by the way, we have a free resource we're sowing into as many of you as possible. I'll tell you about it a little bit later in the broadcast, but something of such importance to our ministry that will have such an impact on you as you listen to it, we're sending it out free to everyone who calls. So I'll be telling you about that shortly. But my friend Yesu Padam had been stoned for preaching the gospel years ago. He had gone into a village in a place called Tuni. This was before he was in full-time ministry. He had gone in there to talk to people, and he asked them if they knew about Jesus. And someone said, well, maybe if you go to the next village, they can tell you where that is. They thought it was a place. Didn't even, no clue. He said, right here where I'm working, they've never heard of Jesus. So he decided to go in there and preach, and the Hindu elders told him, if you go in here and preach, we'll stone you. Do not come into our village and preach. He went in and preached, and they did stone him. And one of his fingers is broken. His head still has a scar in it to this day, many, many years later. As he fell to the ground bleeding, he said, Lord, you shed your blood for this village. Now I give my blood for this village. I claim this village for Jesus. Well, 75% of the village got saved. The men who stoned him subsequently became elders in the church that he planted there. Well, we were ministering together in a place called Guntur. And there was an unsaved Lutheran pastor who was hostile to our meetings in the city, was not happy with what we were doing, when we were doing it. We had permission to do it. We were doing it. He wanted us to start at a time that was inconvenient for us, and he threatened Yesu Padam. And he said to him, listen, if you try to start your meeting at that time, he said, we will turn on the PA system outside of our church, and we will blast you with our music. Yesu Padam looked at him and said, I'm willing to die for Jesus. And the guy walked away. It's like, okay, little loud music is not exactly going to threaten you. Yesu Padam is free because you couldn't threaten him. You couldn't threaten him with death. You couldn't threaten him with loud music. He's free. Are you free today?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today. Talking about freedom, what it really means to be free. Being famous doesn't necessarily make you free. Having lots of possessions doesn't make you free. Or if I could just have money in the bank, I wouldn't care about what people said. Maybe not. Or if I could just be respected by everyone, oh, maybe then you'd be even more bound. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's Wednesday. We focus on The Line of Fire on Wednesday on moral, cultural issues. If you're just tuning in, Wednesday is our moral, cultural focus. Thursday is our focus on Israel, Jewish, ministry-related issues. Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers on a wide range of subjects. Monday, whichever way the wind blows after the weekend. And Tuesday is our day to focus on Bible theology, apologetics, practical living in the Lord. So this is a moral and cultural issue. Because to have a world-changing spirit, to have a go-against-the-grain spirit, to have a swim-against-the-tide spirit, you have to die to the praises of people. You know, Jesus rebuked religious leaders in his day because they were more concerned about the praise of man than the praise of God. He said, how can you believe in that situation? How are you free to believe? What do you think it is that makes it so hard for so many to stand up for what's right today? I'm not asking you to call in and blast pastors and leaders. I know many fine pastors, many fine leaders standing up for what's right. I know others who are compromised, just the same as believers in general. I know fine believers, and I know compromised believers. What is it, though, that makes it so hard for us to stand up for what's right, to stand up for what's true, to stand up for justice, to go against the grain? I read something remarkable recently about Lady Gaga, who some say is more influential than Oprah right now and is as hot as things come in terms of sales of music and just a cultural icon. I haven't followed her closely enough to know much beyond the utterly bizarre and the immoral public display and the born that way message, which of course is focused also on homosexual, bisexual, transgender issues. But she's just talking about the very, very low self-esteem that she has. You think you're one of the most popular people in the world today, with one of the biggest fan bases in the world today, the fastest selling hit to get to a million copies on iTunes, Born That Way, of anything that's ever come out. And yet, very low self-esteem. Well, this woman needs salvation, the mercy of the Lord, and repentance to be whole in God. But I heard a man of God once say this: I am not moved by criticism because I am not moved by praise. So many of us don't live with a sufficient God consciousness, and because of that, we're more concerned about what people think than what God thinks. We're more concerned with the implications of what I do than with the question of, is it right? The question that should not be before us, the question that should not be the one before us is, if I do this, what will happen? The question is this the right thing to do? Oh, yes, we exercise wisdom and we seek the mind of the Lord in terms of strategy. But the question is, what is right? I've read the lives of missionaries. I've read the lives of martyrs. I've read the lives of revolutionaries. I've read the lives of civil rights leaders. And ultimately, you have to put your own life on the line one way or another, whether it's your reputation, whether it's the promotion on your job, whether it's the recommendation from your college professor, whether it's the esteem of your neighbors and friends and family. You have to do what's right because it's right. Amy Carmichael, missionary, lifetime missionary to India, she was explaining what it meant to be dead to self and alive to God, and she said it means this: dead to all one's natural earthly plans and hopes, dead to all voices, however dear, which would deafen our ear to his. Thank God for those who stood up for what's right and are standing up for what's right. Look, when you look back at the pages of history, who do you remember? Who do you revere? Who do you respect? Who moves you to this day? It's the ones that had courage and the ones that took a stand. We'll do our standard little Bible survey here. And by the way, this question was not original with me. I heard a pastor from Michigan ask this once, and I thought, good question. It was very relevant. Name for me one of the 10 spies who said we cannot take the land. Asked this question before. You probably haven't looked it up since, right? Name for me one of the 10 spies who came back with a bad report and said we can't take the land, which influenced the nation as a whole so that they ended up dying in the wilderness and having to wander for another 38 years. Name for me one of these 10 influential spies who said we can't take the land. Don't remember his name, do you? But you remember the names of Joshua and Caleb. Everybody that's read the Bible and knows the story remembers their names, Joshua and Caleb, the ones who then led Israel into the promised land, the only ones 20 years old and more who didn't drop in the desert. That's what we remember. Name for me those that were the great critics of Jonathan Edwards and the Great Awakening. Name for me those that stood in the way of reformation in terms of other key moral issues and spiritual issues in our nation's history. We tend to forget those people, and we remember the ones that stood up for what's right. It's in your blood to do that, friend. If you're a child of God, it's in your blood, spiritually speaking, to do what's right. You have already made a counterculture decision by saying, I will follow Jesus as my Lord, because the world hates him. We have to cast our lot with him, as we talked yesterday about, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Your reward is great in the kingdom of heaven. Remember the absolutely shocking story of the massacre at Columbine in Columbine High School in Colorado, 1999. Oh, what a shocking, tragic event. And listen to what Cassie Bernal said, one of the martyrs. Was it early 2000? Sorry. Now I have given up on everything else. This was a lady who had only recently come to the Lord. She hadn't been serving the Lord for years and years. She was one of the ones killed, and according to reports, killed because of her faith, along with Rachel Scott, another young lady killed because of her faith. Listen to what she wrote. This was just from her journal, and her parents found it. Her grieving parents found it after she was killed. Now I have given up on everything else. I have found it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again and to find out what it means to suffer and to die with him. So whatever it takes, I will be the one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. Was that prophetic or what? Let me just read this again. Now I've given up on everything else. I found it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again and to find out what it means to suffer and to die with him. So whatever it takes, I will be one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. And Rachel Scott had written this in her journal about 1 year before she was killed. As I understand it, she was the Rachel who was explicitly mentioned by one of the killers, used to go with her, was no longer going with her. Now she was a Christian following Jesus. And as I understand it, she was the Rachel mentioned on the video that they planned to kill. Look at what she wrote. I have no more personal friends at school, but you know what? I'm not going to apologize for speaking the name of Jesus. I'm not going to justify my faith to them. And I'm not going to hide the light that God has put into me. I have to sacrifice. If I have to sacrifice everything, I will. I will take it. If my best friends have to become my enemies for me to be with my best friend Jesus, then that's fine with me. Can you say those words? I'm not laying a trip of condemnation on you. I'm asking to examine yourself and to ask, could I say that? If my friends have to become my enemies for me to be with my best friend Jesus, then that's fine with me. Somehow, as we cultivate a deeper relationship with Jesus, and his reality floods our lives more profoundly, we can say that more easily, because out of his beauty, all the other friendships are so secondary, and friendships that we have in him are so wonderfully enhanced. Am I really willing to say that if my friends have to become my enemies for me to be with my best friend Jesus, then that's fine with me? I want to encourage your heart, stir your heart, and ask you the question, are you free, or are you a slave to what people think, or are you a slave to what's going to bring in the bucks? Are you a slave to what's going to bring in the ratings? Are you a slave to human popularity or to the will of God? Those who are slaves to the will of God are really free, absolutely free. Okay, we have a resource, 3 messages on 1 CD. It only sells for $15, but it's yours free today. 3 messages, Holy Desperation, which has had dramatic impact on the listeners through the years. Fire, about the fire of God and how we can become torches ourselves, and Call to Die, which ties in directly, exactly with what we're talking about today, the call of the missionary, the martyr, the disciple of Jesus. Three messages that will absolutely change your life, and I feel it's so important to get this into your hands, because when you hear these messages, your life will be impacted, the very thing we're trying to encourage you in, you'll be helped in. We want to send them out to you absolutely free. If you can make a contribution, trust me, we would appreciate it, and that would be wonderful and would help us reach more people and give away more materials. But it's yours free for the asking. Got to call this number, though, to get the CD. 1-800-278-9978. Three messages on one CD just for your call. 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I mentioned this in the first hour. I'm going to repeat it again in this second hour. And actually, I am speaking right now to this specific city where this particular story applies. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7 884 online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You'll also find resources, recommendations that tie in with today's program. So I'm not identifying the city, but I'm just saying that I'm speaking to this very city on this broadcast right now in this hour. Speaking to a megachurch pastor in the city, a colleague, friend of mine, and he said that among the megachurch pastors with whom he fellowships, he is the only one who will address the issue of homosexuality anymore. Not even talking about gay activism. We're talking about the issue of homosexuality. He is the only one who will even address it anymore. Even talking about sexual sin or talking about brokenness with it or talking about God's intent for the family and where homosexuality fits. What? Too controversial. Too costly. People get offended. People get mad. There's backlash. You're called hateful. You're called bigoted. You're called intolerant. Perhaps a family member with someone struggling with same-sex attraction or is an out and proud gay lesbian person. Maybe they get offended and they leave, no matter how much wisdom that you use. And many people say, look, I'm just using wisdom. I would believe that. And I'm not the judge of individuals. Okay, it's not for me to judge the motivation of the heart. It's not for any of us to judge the motivation of someone else's heart. But if I saw people through the years acting courageously and standing up for what's right, regardless of cost or consequences, and being determined to be witnesses for Jesus and not couch their message and pull punches in such a way so as to take away the offense of the cross and the offense of the gospel. If I saw people doing that and then they had a different take on a particular issue, well, maybe they're just using wisdom. But we've often had a pattern of compromise. We have often had a pattern of speaking what people want to hear instead of what they need to hear. My question is, what is it that makes it so difficult for us to stand up for what's right? Look, my friends in India, every year we go there, do a water baptism as part of the program there, part of our activities while we're there. And when the people are baptized, my friend Yesu Padam asked them in Telugu, and I happen to know this not because it was translated for me, but because on a recent visit we had people there from Nagaland, and the language that they had in common was English, so that particular water baptism was done in English. Otherwise, I didn't know what was being said. I followed some just by hearing a word here or there, or the responses. But he asked them, when they're baptized in water, are you willing to follow Jesus by life or by death? Yes. This is a water baptism. Many of them understand this could cost me. When I go back home, this could cost me a job. When I go back home, my family may renounce me. When I go back home, my spouse may leave me. When I go back home, I may get beaten. But I believe in Jesus, and I'm not willing to deny Jesus. It's absolutely worth it. We had a woman on one of our early trips speak to some of our team that was out doing village outreach, one of our early trips to India. And she had been beaten regularly by her husband for her faith. She was the only believer in her village, and she was so excited to meet other believers. It was so encouraging for her, but she wanted us to know it was worth it. It was worth it to follow Jesus. Do you know somebody who's very free in the scriptures? His example is a great challenge to all of us. Very free. Stephen. Can I tell you why? And those, okay, just to clarify, as we're getting a lot of folks calling our regular lines, for the free CD, the number to call is 1-800-278-9978. That's not to get on the program, but to get the free CD with the messages Holy Desperation, Call to Die, and Fire. We'll send it to you postage paid if you can make a contribution. Awesome, wonderful. But everyone, I encourage you to call. We would much rather send it to you and you make no contribution, then we don't send it to you, okay? We want to get these into your hands, and you'll be blessed by the resources. It's a way also that we can be in touch with you as listeners. 1-800-278-9978 to get free resource. Our operators will be happy to be flooded with calls today. We'll probably hear from them tomorrow, but that's their joy to serve. All right, Stephen, think of this for a minute. Was he a married man with kids? In all probability, in the Jewish world and culture in which he lived, he'd probably be married fairly young and could well have had kids at a fairly young age. Let's just say for the record that he was, all right? I'm speculating. I don't know that. Let's just say that he was. He's full of the Spirit. He's being used in signs and wonders. He's powerfully preaching the gospel. Because he's being so used by God, he gets falsely accused. He gets called before the Jewish leadership of his day. Now, this is major. This is big. This is the revered Jewish leadership, the Sanhedrin. And he preaches his message. And at the end of his message, they're outraged. Outraged, gnashing him, you know, gnashing. They're furious with him. I mean, this was not a legal stoning. This was a mob stoning, basically, is what takes place. This revered leadership was so angry with his word of rebuke. And what does he do? He says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Hang on. Maybe he's got a wife and kids waiting for him. Maybe when he comes through the door, a little boy, a little girl, Abba, Abba, and grabs him around the ankles. Remember what it was like to come home to our daughters when they're little now, both with their own kids? You know, his wife, his lovely wife. Then he's got a whole ministry. He has a future. Think of how God can use him. Stephen just apologized to say, you know, look, I didn't want to offend. I'm so sorry. I didn't want to offend you. I respect you, your elders. No, he kept speaking. Why? And look, we're not trying to be obnoxious. And by all means, we respect authority. But hear me. The reason he didn't back down was because he wasn't trying to save his life. He was trying to be a witness. Oh, there's quite a difference. He wasn't trying to save his life. He was trying to be a witness. And he was free. It didn't matter what happened. He was going to do the right thing. That's why some of us go overseas on missions trips and we preach with such passion and such fire and such faith. Why? Because nobody knows us and there are no consequences. And we join the drama team and color our faces, paint our faces. Nobody knows who we are. We're bold. How about showing that same boldness where we live, in our neighborhood, in our place of business, in our school? Oh, gets costly then. All right, friends, allow me to sow something into you today that will really minister deeply to you. In fact, when you get this, drop us a line and tell us the impact of these messages, all right? Three messages on one CD. It only sells for $15, but it's yours free for the asking today. My message, Holy Desperation, which we have heard has even sparked moves of God in churches that have watched the video or listened to the audio message. Call to Die, which ties in directly with this message today, the mentality of missionaries and martyrs of the past. And Fire, one of the best-known messages we've preached through the years about the fire of God, how we can become torches. If you'd like to send a contribution to help with the broadcast, that's always appreciated. We have large bills to reach this large audience, but it's yours, free for asking, contribution or not, just by calling us at 1-800-278-9978. I'm not going to tell you supplies are limited because we will make these as you ask for them, all right? But you need to do it today. 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the free D. It'll be our joy to send them out by the thousand this week. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There are people who have gotten to a breaking point, even though they were in chains, even though they were slaves. They got to a breaking point where they said, no matter what you do to me, I am no longer your slave. Oh, outwardly, they may still have been bound, but inwardly, they were free. I wonder, are you free today? Or are you slave to what people think? Are you slave to what's best, what's going to work out best and help me the most and help my career or help my family or help my ministry? Are you free to do the will of God? 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. I want to share an account I've often shared. It took place in the life of Martin Luther King, Selma, Alabama, March 8th, 1965. There was all kinds of resistance because Martin Luther King, as opposed to, say, Malcolm X, in for most of his life, changed towards the end. Malcolm X, Black Panthers, others advocated more violent resistance or the potential of violent resistance, especially the Black Panthers. Dr. King advocated nonviolent resistance. The problem is there were violent people who opposed them. The problem is they said nonviolent resistance, and then people are coming out and beating them or killing them or bombing them, firing them from their jobs, harassing them. So people said we need a different strategy because this is obviously not working. I mean, look at what's happening to our people. So Martin Luther King addressed this, speaking at a church building, March 8th, 1965. The building's packed. You see the video. It's very moving. There are people standing outside listening as he speaks over the loudspeakers. And I'll have to get this on audio. We don't have it on DVD, so I've got to just transfer the video and hopefully get it in good enough quality to play the audio for you one day on the air. I've been unable to find it online. So we'll do that one day, and you'll hear it from Dr. King's own voice. But he said, deep down in our nonviolent creed, we understand there are certain things worth dying for. And listen to what he said. If a man happens to be 36 years old, as I happen to be, and some great truth stands before the door of his life, some great opportunity to stand up for that which is right, he's afraid his home will get bombed, or he's afraid he'll lose his job, or he's afraid that he'll get shot or beat down by state troopers. He may go on and live until he's 80, but he's just as dead at 36 as he would be at 80. And the cessation of breathing in his life is merely the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. King said, a man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true. So we're going to stand up right here amid horses. We're going to stand up right here in Alabama amid billy clubs. We're going to stand up right here in Alabama amid police dogs, if they have them. We're going to stand up amid tear gas. We're going to stand up amid anything that they can muster up, letting the world know that we are determined to be free. I mean, think of the words of Jesus, Luke 17, 32 and 33. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Whoever clings to this life will lose it. Whoever loses this life will save it. Lot's wife had her whole life bound up in Sodom, and she looked back, wanted to save it, wanted to save her life, and thereby she lost her life. Lot left his life behind and lived to save it. Some years back, I attended a meeting where Richard Wurmbrand, at that point he was in his 80s, he's with the Lord now, most well-known persecuted saint of the last generation, I would say. He was speaking to a congregation I attended in Maryland. And he said this: when the Supreme Court outlawed organized public prayer in your schools, why did you obey? Pastor Wurmbrand, like the apostles, like so many of our brothers and sisters around the world today, had been beaten, tortured, starved, abused for refusing to comply with unjust laws. And he just asked the question, why did you obey? Why didn't you continue to pray publicly? And some say, well, that was the law and we had to submit to it. That's a whole other question. But certainly for many, it's, well, I don't want to risk it. I mean, if we send our care, it's too costly, as opposed to, is it right? As long as we think like that, friends, we are not free.
Fire we please, and the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I share a quote with you from John Stamm? John and Betty Stamm were ultimately martyred in China as missionaries. John Stamm, they had met at Moody Bible College, and Betty graduated before him. She was raised by missionary parents. She went back to China. John graduated and then went to China. They were married, had a baby together, and then they were martyrs. This was a challenge that John brought to the class at Moody, graduating class at Moody in 1932. And again, my question is, are you free? Are you free to do what you know is right? Or are you bound by, if I do this, it would be too costly. If I do this, it would hurt my relationships. If I do this, tithing members would leave my church. If I do this, I won't get the promotion. Are you free to do the will of God, or are you enslaved by what people think or by the consequences of your actions? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, as always, askdrbrown.org. And I really encourage you to go online to askdrbrown.org, not only to explore the website and the hundreds of hours of free resources and to get all the articles from our free online magazine, Voice of Revolution, but to get involved in the discussion on the Line of Fire blog and Voice of Revolution blog. Lots of very interesting discussion. You'll certainly learn from it, and I'm sure you can contribute something as well. AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, or click on Voice of Revolution. Dive in, get involved, and you'll learn, and there'll be some great give and take as well. Okay. John Stamm. This is the message he brings to the graduating class at Moody, 1932. Shall we beat a retreat and turn back from our high calling in Christ Jesus? Or dare we advance at God's command in face of the impossible? Let us remind ourselves that the Great Commission was never qualified by clauses calling for advance, only if funds were plentiful and no hardship or self-denial involved. On the contrary, we are told to expect tribulation and even persecution, but with it, victory in Christ. So many times we do what's convenient rather than what's right. So many times we take the path of least resistance. Hey, friends, it's Wednesday on the Line of Fire. It means our focus is on moral, cultural issues. And I'm encouraging those of you who know what's right, yes, to use wisdom, yes, to pray to be led by the Spirit, but to be sure that before the Lord, you're willing to stand up and you will stand up for his cause, for what is right. And when you're called to do what's wrong, you have to say, I'm sorry, I cannot do that in good conscience. But that's going to cost you a promotion. Just need to I'm sorry, I'm not here just for money. I have to stand before God and honor the Lord, and I'm sorry, I can't perpetuate that lie. I was working a job for some years. I was a committed believer while working this particular job, a secular job, but I needed revival in my own life. I needed to draw closer to the Lord in my own life. As God began to work more deeply in my life, I became uncomfortable with certain things in the company. I felt if they were dishonest in certain ways, then I would be honest, and I would make sure that what I was doing, my part of it, was right. At a certain point, I became uncomfortable and thought, I'm playing into a dishonesty there. I can't do it. Married with two kids, I mean, job is important, but I couldn't do it because it wasn't right. When I was new in the Lord, a pastor told me that a colleague of his would not preach against a certain sin, even though he believed it was a sin, because people in his church were practicing that sin and would leave. And this pastor told me, I'm going to preach against it even if people leave. Our goal is not to make enemies. And let me say this plainly. Smallness and lack of success is not a proof of obedience. I'm doing the will of God. Here's the proof. Nobody listens to me. I'm doing the will of God. Here's the proof. I got three people in my congregation. I'm doing the will of God. Everybody hates me. No, you may be hated and have three people in your congregation and have no one listening to you because you're obnoxious. I may have no one that comes to hear me because I'm obnoxious or because I'm rude or because I'm not in the Spirit. No, the goal is not to be rejected. The goal is not to be small. The goal is not to have some martyrdom, persecution complex. The goal is to do what's right regardless of cost or consequence. What is it that holds you back? What is it that stops you from being free to do the will of God? It's something you have to answer personally. It's something that you may, very deep down, you don't want to be rejected. Very deep down, you want everybody to like you. Can I tell you that having everyone like you just makes you more of a slave? Living in such a way so that everybody likes you, now you're a slave to what they think, and you're constantly wondering, did I offend them? Did I do the wrong thing? As opposed to you love God and you love people and you do what's right, and if they like you, fine. If not, hey, you pray for them, and you reach out to them, and you seek to do kind things for them, regardless of whether they spit in your face, because you're going to do the right thing. It's wonderfully freeing. When I was, before I was, say, playing in a band, and one of the guys, guitarists, that were coming over for rehearsal, I said, I can't do it tonight. Well, they got mad at me, and I was real young at that time, and my dad didn't feel good about the guys I was playing with in this band, and he said, well, and he said, you're fired. I said, you can't fire me. I already quit. So, I mean, it's just a little kid, but it was that attitude that I had. Look, I've made my decision, and you don't have power over me. When the world has power over us, when the world can wield its boycott threats over us, when the world can wield its rating threats over us, when the world can wield its financial pressure or the popularity thing against us, we're not free. We're not free. And look, even the fear of death is something that can hold people in bondage. You almost make a subtle deal with the devil, like, I won't rock the boat if you don't try to hurt me. As opposed to saying, I love the Lord, I entrust my life to his care, I know he's with me, and I would rather have the favor of God than the favor of man. I would rather have the curses of man and the blessing of God than the blessing of the whole world and the curse of God. It's so important that we really meditate on these things, and we ask ourselves some really honest questions. Look, most of us are not going to be faced with someone putting a gun to our head and said, deny Jesus or die. Most of us are not going to be faced with even being fired from our jobs for what's right. Most of us are just faced with losing friends or having someone speak against us or somebody makes fun of you online. And because of those things, we want everyone to like us. I would rather live in such a way that through me, people knew Jesus. If they like me, if they hated me. Look, we talked yesterday about being persecuted for righteousness. The great heroes of the faith were not liked by everybody. My goal is to be Christ-like. My goal is to have an attitude, a demeanor, speak words, have a temperament that glorifies Jesus and that draws attention to him, and that people can read his words and look at my life and find them in harmony. It's something to strive for by God's grace. I'm heading in that direction. A whole lot of room to grow until the day I meet him face to face. But if glorifying Jesus means people hate me, so be it. If glorifying Jesus means that I go off the air, so be it. If glorifying Jesus means that people won't publish my book, so be it. Look, I've worked with many fine publishers, but I tell you, just to be honest, I was talking to a publisher recently about a potential book I was thinking of writing. And I got a long form to fill out, which publishers often have. You know, give us the message of the book, who's your intended audience, who you think will buy the book, what kind of sales would you project, would it go to book, you know, and on and on and on. And I understand that they have a committee that evaluates things and makes decisions. And you know, we've published a few things on our own. And of course, most notably, we launched Equal Time Books to publish A Queer Thing Happened to America. But I understand the need to do things like that. But here's what I wanted the publisher to tell me. And I know the key man involved said, Mike, I believe you have an important book here. Let's just go through this process. But because I hadn't written it yet and he hadn't read it yet, what I wanted to hear was this. We believe this is an important book and we want to get this book out. Write some of the books so we can pass it to our committee. And then we want to publish it because we believe in it, not because the numbers are going to work, not because we're convinced it'll sell here. I understand there are publishing questions to ask because you're a company and you have to pay bills and pay people and all that. I understand that. But to me, you exist to get a message out. And the question should not be, will it sell? The question is this an important message that we want to stand behind? Maybe another book sales are going to have to make up for this one, but we want to get this book out. In that vein, let me share with you a resource that we want to get to every one of you. You say, well, if it's so important, I hear this on the radio all the time. If it's so important, then give it away. We are. We are. How do you like that? Yours, free for the asking. Three of the most important messages I've ever preached in my life. Holy desperation, call to die, and fire. I assure you, if you take time to listen to these messages, they will minister to you, they will challenge you, they will strengthen you, they will burn in your heart perhaps for days or weeks or even months to come. We have them all on one CD. You can put them on your computer. You can download them for your MP3 player. You can copy them, give them away. We want to send it to you free. I feel it's this important to get it into your hands. We'll send them out free. If you can make a contribution, we welcome it. That would help. But they're yours for the asking. But you've got to call this number today, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about being truly free in Jesus. And as we're truly free in Jesus, we can go against the grain of the society and do what it's right. Do what's right regardless of cost or consequence. 866-34-TRUTH. You're just tuning in. Make sure you stay with us. We have a free resource we'll be giving away shortly. Before I go to the phones, let me just say this last thing. When I got saved, I thought I was totally free because, after all, I broke the rules of the world. I grew my hair long. I got rebellion. I did drugs. I was as open and out and proud of my sin as I knew how to be. And I went against the grain of what a lot of my other friends were doing. I thought I was free. Now I'm in this little church with these older people. And, you know, some into their 60s and 70s, but many 30, 40, 50, probably 40s, 50s for the most part. Men in jackets and ties, women in dresses. And the service would come and they'd pray out, just pray freely. And it took me a while to be willing to pray. I thought, man, these people are more free than you are. And then when I just got convicted that I had long hair out of rebellion and that I shouldn't have that rebellious attitude, and I cut it a little bit. And I was going to school the first time with my hair a little shorter. You know, you couldn't tell it was shorter because it was shoulder length. It used to be past my shoulders. So from the front, you couldn't tell and then you had to go around the back and see, okay, it was just to the, you know, to the back of my neck. And now was no longer down my shoulders. I remember what people are going to think. And I thought, man, we got to be free. We could be bound up by so many stupid, petty things, or we can really be free to do the will of God. And I tell you, when you're free to do the will of God, it's challenging, but the freedom that comes with it, the fact that you're not constantly evaluating what this one's saying, what that one's saying, instead you're saying, Lord, is this pleasing to you? It is absolutely worth it. 866-34-TRUTH. Jim in Cumming, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, I appreciate you taking my call. I had called last week when you had your subject on revival, and you mentioned to me, just like the Bible does, there's always a remnant. Even though for the average Joe like myself that does a poor job of walking with Christ, when I look around my world, I see such a poor example. And on your subject today, for myself I'm speaking, and when I hear your subject today about being free, I think when you mention about Christ being such a countercultural example, and yet he had such a large following of people, I think he had a freedom in that he was doing God's will, and he had confidence in that. And for me, myself personally, I think I lack that ability to have the freedom because I don't really have a relationship with God in the sense that I look to other things, because where I should be looking, it seems to me, it's, you know, with the exception of, you know, you're supposed to read the Bible, you're supposed to have fellowship with other believers, you're supposed to go to church. And obviously, all those things are, especially reading the Bible on a daily basis, is so important to have freedom in a world where everything is pulling you in a different direction. Without sounding like a weirdo to you, I think mostly I'm just a coward, and it takes a lot of discipline to go against to have freedom in Christ than to just be pulled at whatever direction the world is pulling you in.
Yeah, and Jim, you're just speaking honestly for many others when you say that you're a coward. Many of us have had to deal with this in different ways through the years in the Lord. And the first thing is to recognize the issue and to confess it to God and to ask him to strengthen you and help you. I want you to think about something, Jim. We look at Joshua as this great, courageous leader. And 40 years earlier, he had told the Israelites, we can take the land. We can take the land. And then the Israelites said, we can't. They rebelled. So they died in the wilderness. Now it's like 38 plus years later. He's leading them back in. And over, he's told, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. And I wonder if now he's 40 years older. He's seen a lot happen. He's seen his whole generation die in the wilderness. I wonder if by nature he wasn't quite as aggressive and bold anymore. And that's why they had to keep telling him, be strong, be courageous, be strong, be courageous. Meaning that sometimes the recognition of our own weakness is where we find strength in God. And I believe, Jim, if you'll tell God, I'm available. I want to do your will. I'm available. I'll stand up and ask him, Lord, help me to be strong in you. Help me to be strong in you. It's just like you pump air in a balloon and suddenly that thing gets big and can fly through the air. God's strength can get pumped into you. And so make it something part of your talking with the Lord about. Keep listening into the broadcast as we can maybe infuse courage into you. And then as you have an opportunity to join with people who are taking a stand, sometimes the strength of being with others is helpful. And that'll help you to break out. The other thing is you may always feel fear, but you can look at it and say, okay, but by God's strength, I'm going to do what's right. It's almost like you close your eyes, I'm going to do what's right, and he'll help you through. Hey, Jim, keep listening. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Lord, strengthen my brother Jim, that out of a confession of cowardice will come strength in you, that he will find himself strong in you and in the power of your might. Thanks for the call, and thanks for being a voice to many others. Hey, even to make a call is hard for some. So you are stepping out, Jim. Remind yourself, my strength is in the Lord. My courage is in the Lord. My help is in the Lord. My strength is in the Lord. Make that your confession. Strength will come. Can I encourage all of you to recognize that these tendencies are very real, to recognize that mentality of cowardice can be there, and to remind yourself of the truth of God, that the Holy Spirit really does live within you, that Jesus who died and rose from the dead really is your captain, that you really are different than the world. Just by saying Jesus is my Lord, you set yourself against the course of this world. Renew your mind. Allow the Lord to help you see how evil and wicked this world can be and how evil and wicked the consequences of sin are, and that encourages you all the more to do what's right. And then keep cultivating intimacy, seeking to build a solid relationship with him. Everything will flow out of that. Okay, just for the very last time, this resource is so important, we're giving it away free. We've sold hundreds or thousands of these over the years, but we're giving them away free today just for your phone call. Three of the most important messages I've ever preached. So I'm not trying to sell this to you. I'm trying to give it away. Holy Desperation, Call to Die, which will look at the spirit of missionaries and martyrs, and Fire, God being a consuming fire, how he makes us into torches. These messages will really change your life, and we're making them available free for your phone call. If you can help us with a contribution, that's wonderful. We welcome it. But we would much rather you call and take advantage of this for free if you can't help us, so we can send it into you, into your hands, and sow it into your lives. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. But you need to do this today, friends. 1-800-278-9978. Number to call. I'll give it to you one more time. 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the free CD. And when you get it, let us know how the messages impact your life. My bottom line, Jesus, our captain, has gone before us, and he has called us to be strong in him and in the power of his might. If we will not make excuses, if we will be ruthlessly honest with our weaknesses, we will find our strength in him, and we'll find we are counterculture overcomers in Jesus.